morning. I love camp. I think I've attended camp every year in some capacity or another since probably about 1978 or so. I've got so many good memories. The stories I wrote in that little story in the newsletter a few weeks ago about burning down the neighbor's fishing hut accidentally and going on a blindfolded tour of Ottawa, all that stuff actually really happened. They're really true. But so many of my formative experiences began for me at camp. My first hiking experience on the Bruce Trail was as a kid at Trail of the Pines camp when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And since then, I've completed the whole trail. And my first canoe trip on the Nottawasaga River was as a camper at Trail of the Pines camp. And now I'm on this trek to complete the route of the voyageurs from the Great Lakes to the St. Lawrence. And I think that was probably born at camp many, many years ago as a little kid. My first sense of God speaking to me, God tugging at my heart, came at a camp meeting before I was 7 years old. And when Jeremy invited me to speak this morning, I started thinking about camping stories in the Bible. And of course, the Israelites knew all about camping. They went on a 40-year camping trip. They were together 24/7 for 40 years. And they got to know each other, I'm sure, very, very well. And that was a formative experience for them. But the story that I was drawn to right away was the vacation that Jesus took with his family when he was 12 years old. And it's recorded in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 51 or so. Did you know that every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So, like they always did, it was their custom, it was their tradition to do this. But it wasn't just their own family, it was their neighbors and their friends, their relatives. Everybody went to this thing. It was the biggest deal of the year. It happened in Jerusalem, and it lasted about a week or so. And of course, they were celebrating that event that happened hundreds of years earlier in their life when they were slaves in Egypt. And the angel of death passed over their homes and did not bring on them the death that he brought on the firstborn of the Egyptian families. And of course, that triggered the release of the Israelite people from slavery. So this is what they were celebrating, and everybody was expected to attend this festival. Now, Nazareth, where Jesus and Mary and Joseph lived, was probably about 140 kilometers or so from Jerusalem. So if you're walking, that's at least 3 or 4 days of traveling. That's a camping experience. And they did it every year. It was just built into their calendar. They never questioned whether they do it or not. And I wonder this morning if you've got any family traditions like that. Our family's been going to camp, I think, every year. It wasn't necessarily an intentional tradition, but it's become a tradition. I've got a few photos of that. These are some of the early years. We didn't actually get to camp this way, although that probably would have been fun. But these are our kids and Joel's Anting kids, and actually Joel's Anting in the trunk of the car, which is not a bad place for him at all. I work with him, so he's a lot of fun. I could see him traveling to camp like that, actually. And a few years later, Sean and I on the left there, our superhero family on the right, you can tell that I'm just having a great time being a superhero. Actually, these are my real superheroes right here, I think. But then I've got pictures in my mind that were never caught on camera as well, like Ryan and his friend breaking out of the nursery care by squeezing under the fence and taking a run for it. Or about the same era, Ryan and friend stripping down to nothing and running for the lake. But you know, one of the great things about going to camp as a family is that we were never worried about our kids. There's lots of cool things to do, and there was always older leaders around watching out for them. So they might run for it. They wouldn't get very far before somebody caught up with them. So back to this vacation of Jesus, what actually happened at the Feast of the Passover? Well, there was celebration. There were special meals, there were ceremonies. I'm sure there was lots and lots of food. There would have been singing and laughter. There would have been remembering the past, coming back to the words of Scripture. And there was something else, something that was not necessarily a stated purpose of the Feast of the Passover, but was maybe just as important. They vacated work. In that sense, they were on vacation. They left work behind for a few days. They freed themselves from all the daily concerns, the routines that kept them focused on their immediate concerns of paying the bills, putting food on the table, satisfying their boss, all that stuff. They vacated for a few days. And I'm sure there was a lot of relationship building that went on that walk to Jerusalem and the walk back as they traveled in a caravan. And they would have been developing common memories as a community. They would have been taking care of one another. They would have been watching one another's kids. They would have been preparing meals together. They were together 24/7 for at least 10 days or so. Now, where can you go for an experience like that? And some of you are saying, who would want an experience like that? But for some of you, that's a real draw. Does it sound like fun to you? Where could you go together for an extended period of time where you were not worried about the safety of your children? You could share meals, you could have fun, you could tell stories, you could get refocused on the things that really matter. Some place that you could actually afford. And of course, our camps are that kind of experience. Here's a shot from Stainer Camp. And Stainer Camp is about 2 hours from here. You can get there very quickly. It's a peaceful hideaway under majestic pine trees just south of Collingwood. It's on the edge of Ontario's favorite playground. And Wasaga Beach is just about 10 minutes away from there. But stepping onto the grounds is like stepping into serenity. Unless, of course, it's JR Pitch Weekend, and then it's more like stepping into a junior high pajama party. And that's lots of fun, too, if you like that sort of thing. But you can go to Stainer Camp and camp there anytime in the summer. There's 2 weeks of a family camp that begin this year on July 25th and run to August 9th. And people from the EMC tribe gather and connect there. There's special speakers, there's session for children, there's session for teens and adults. And there's organized activities as well for everyone. There's family ball games, there's all kinds of things to do there. And of course, if you're willing to drive a little bit further, there's also Camp Mishawa that we've been seeing in the pictures already this morning. A little further away, you can get there in about half a day, but it's well worth the drive. It's such an awesome camp. It's about 25 minutes southwest of Pembroke. I've got a fantastic sandy beach, protected bay on Round Lake, and there's lots of things to do there. There's sailing, paddle boards, canoes, kayaks, beach volleyball. You've seen some of these shots already in the video this morning that I was seeing for the very first time. Kind of cool. And again, you can camp there all summer long. There's a place for people just to come and park their trailers along the creek side or along the beach, or park their tents. But family camp starts on July the 5th this year and runs for a couple of weeks. And in the first week, Andrew Mills, our pastor over at Plattsville EMC Church, is speaking. And Andrew is a great, great teacher. And Shelley Amos is doing the children's ministry that week. Now, Shelley is the children's pastor at Hanover Evangelical Missionary Church and just does a fantastic job with kids. Last year, I went just to take a few pictures. I thought I'd go in for 5 minutes. I ended up staying for half an hour because I was so drawn into the stuff that he was doing there. Dan Hamill's looking after the youth ministry this year with Phil Unruh, and it gets even better. As you've heard, Jeremy's going to be there, I think, that week and his family, doing deeper sessions in the evening. Is anybody else planning to be at family camp the first week of July? Got anybody else? Not yet, but they will be. Peggy and I will be there. There's lots of good reasons to go, and if you can't go the first week, the second week is almost as good. Mark Chester is one of our seasoned pastors, and he's a very good storyteller, and he'll be speaking the second week. And I think Child Evangelism Fellowship is doing the children's ministry that week. But camp is a great place to connect with others from our tribe and beyond who are on a journey with Jesus. And it's a great place to relax. And of course, as you know, there's camps that are dedicated for kids as well as Camps and Champs, which is a camp for ages 8 to 12, starts August 2nd to 8, and there's a second week that starts August 9 to 15. And Steve and Jeanette Balzer are directing those camps again, and they do a fantastic job. We're really fortunate to have them on board. And of course, Junior Teen Camp then starts August 16th. We have 1 week of Junior Teen Camp. That's for August 13th. That's for ages 13 to 14. And my favorite week is Senior Teen Camp, which is for ages 15 to 19. And that starts August 23rd. Why these camps? There's lots of other great camps besides our two. I asked that question to the Balzers several weeks ago. What's special about our camps? And without even thinking about it, they said right away, you know that you're going to be surrounded by people who really care for you at our camps. And that's one thing that that separates them from some of the others. You can trust that your kids are going to be well cared for. When you come, you're going to get a warm welcome, and people are interested in you. People are not getting paid big dollars to be there and serve. In fact, most of them aren't getting paid anything at all. They're there because they want to serve and they want to love on people. So that's really special. Back to the vacation story. Jesus' parents were like us in this respect. They had daily routines that kept them anchored and focused. As a carpenter, I'm sure Joseph was busy building things and fixing things and filling orders for his neighbors. And Mary was probably busy preparing meals and mending clothes and maybe handling some of the orders for Joseph. They were anchored by those things, and those anchors are a good thing. On a boat, anchors can keep us from drifting aimlessly. They can keep you from crashing into rocks. They can keep you from they can keep you kind of stationed over your favorite fishing hole. They can keep you from moving anywhere, which is fine to a point. But when you lift anchor, you have created an opportunity for movement. Vacating their daily business for a couple of weeks every year to attend the Feast of the Passover was kind of like lifting anchor for Mary and Joseph. There was an opportunity to move. There was an opportunity to move spiritually, to see things from a different perspective, to hear scriptures being taught from a different point of view. And they come back different people because in lifting anchor for a few days, they created opportunity for movement. And going to camp has this effect. You leave behind for a few days some of your anchors, your favorite TV shows, your internet, your email, your work routines, your workout routines if you have one of those. All of your weekly rituals get shaken up, and you meet people who have very different perspectives on a number of things. And teachers open up the word in a manner that's different from what you're used to. And there's the opportunity for movement, for growth, for a change of direction. You're loosened from the things that anchor you to all the wrong places. So I'd like to invite you again this morning to leave behind those anchors for a few days and spend some time at camp. How many of you say you've been impacted in some positive way by an experience at camp, any camp? Quite a number of you. One of our favorite things to do at camp, and Ryan mentioned this already, is storytelling around the campfire. And I could tell you stories, but I think it'd be kind of fun to hear some of your own. And what I'd like to do just for a couple of minutes is have you pretend that there's a campfire about 10 feet away from you and gather 10 or 12 other people around that campfire and share a story of how you've been impacted by an experience at camp. And probably not everybody in the circle will have time to share. We're not going to take that long. We're just going to take 3 or 4 minutes at this. And make sure you're in a group where at least somebody's been to camp, okay? So gather around your campfire. I'll give you about 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll call you back again. Share an experience of a way you've been impacted positively through camp. Okay, I think we could probably spend the next 20 minutes telling stories, but I'm going to call you back. Maybe I've just whet your appetite for some stories you want to carry on over the dinner table or something. As we've seen this morning from some of the songs that the guys led us in earlier, there's lots of frivolous fun that happens at camp, but there's also some very spiritual significant things that happen through our camps as well. I had the opportunity to interview a couple of our World Partners missionaries several weeks ago, and it wasn't to do with camp at all. But going back and looking at that, I was reminded of the significance of the role of camps in some of our leaders. Keith and Ruth Ann Elliott are World Partners missionaries. They're, of course, parents of Tim Elliott. And they talk in this short little interview about the role that camp played in their formative calling as Christians and as... Oh, where would we go? Let's get this up. That volume there. Okay, maybe we're not going to hear this. So here's a couple people from our tribe who made decisions to come to the Lord at camp. And not only made decisions to come to the Lord, but at the same time were called to missions.
I'm listening, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. So the speaker that night gave a call.
I'll keep going.
Ministry as a pastor or missionary, and I knew that night it was to be a missionary.
I grew up going to Sunday school and learning about Christ, but I made my personal decision to serve the Lord on a night when I was at Kitchener Camp Meeting. So it was a missions message that night, and it was really, really precious to me because the day that I gave my life to the Lord, I really sensed that I was called to missions, and I responded that night.
So some very formative things that happen in the lives of our people at summer camps. Now, Jesus' family vacation takes a strange twist. This 12-year-old Jesus is having such a great time that he stays behind, and his parents didn't notice. Here we have it in Luke chapter 2. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Now, isn't it embarrassing when you lose your kids, even for a few minutes? Think of how embarrassing it would be to have lost the Son of God. They were given charge over this kid, and they lost him for a whole day. I could tell you stories about losing kids, but not with the same level of significance as that. How is it possible that they went for a whole day without realizing that Jesus was with them? Well, here's how I imagine it might have happened. Jesus was 12 years old, so he wasn't yet considered a man. That happened a year further down the road with the bar mitzvah and all that stuff at 13. So he could have easily still been hanging out with mums and kids. And when they left the festival, the mums and kids would have left a little earlier because they travel a little bit more slowly. And the men would leave a little bit later and catch up with them. So maybe Jesus, you know, maybe the mums and kids left and the dad, Joseph, caught up with Mary at the end of the day. And Mary's gone, Joseph, she might have assumed that Jesus was traveling with Joseph because he was almost a man and almost old enough to hang out with those guys. So they meet up at the end of the day, and Mary says, "So Joseph, how'd it go with you and Jesus today?" And Joseph's going, "Jesus? I thought Jesus was with you. Wasn't Jesus with you?" "Well, no, I thought he was with you." And then there's this sense of panic that overcomes them because they've lost the Son of God. And they start looking among their relatives and friends, and he's nowhere to be found. And so, of course, they travel back to Jerusalem to look for him. And apparently the temple was not the first place they looked. They looked for a while before they arrived at the temple. And can you blame them? If you lost your 12-year-old son, would you be looking for him around the churchyard? Maybe not. This passage reveals a few interesting things about Jesus. He was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. It's an unusual place for a 12-year-old boy to hang out. Now, Jesus would have been schooled in the Jewish scriptures, so he would have known them fairly well. Their level of schooling to that point was a lot of rote learning, so they would have memorized large passages of scripture. But he was not at the point where they would have done a lot of interacting and questioning and answering with teachers. And here's Jesus, and that's what he's doing. And even at 12, these well-educated people recognize that Jesus is well beyond the level of understanding of an average 12-year-old. There's something unusual about this Jesus. In other respects, he's a very normal adolescent. When his parents finally found him, they're astonished, not at his level of understanding, but at his audacity to not understand why his parents would be worried sick about him. So Mary says, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Jesus, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business?" David Elkind is a child psychologist, and he talks about a stage most adolescents go through, which he calls the imaginary audience syndrome. And in this scenario, the adolescent assumes everyone is watching them. Everyone is thinking about the same thing that they are, which is namely myself. And they're thinking in the same way about that as I am. And at this stage, it's hard to see things from anyone else's point of view. And it looks to me like maybe that's what's going on with Jesus here. He just doesn't grasp why his parents are so upset. In this respect, he's a normal 12-year-old kid. And that's kind of comforting to me. Jesus understands what it's like to be human because he's been through every developmental stage, including those sometimes awkward years as teenagers. But something else seems to be happening in these moments away from his parents. He's beginning to differentiate himself from them. He's owning his own unique identity. And that's been accelerated by being away from Mary and Joseph for a few days. So when he is questioned by them, he says, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business?" And notice a response. It's not, "Oh yeah, that's right, we forgot for a moment that you were the Son of God." Rather, they didn't understand what he was saying. This isn't something they talked about every day. This is a new conversation. And this caught their attention, and it should catch ours too. We'll have more to say about that in a few minutes. But at this point, I want to say that there may be value in leaving your kid behind at camp. Not accidentally, but maybe for a week as a camper, or maybe for a few weeks as counselors, or maybe for a summer as seasonal staff. Camp is a great place for young people to discover their gifts and talents. It's a place to learn new skills. It's a time for them to express themselves without being corrected by their parents, a time for them to come into their own. For many students, being a counselor at camp is the first time they have to be responsible for other people. It's their first opportunity to lead others. It's their first opportunity to share their experience with Jesus with others, or their first time to explain the scriptures to others. And if they don't get it exactly right, it's not the end of the world because they're surrounded by other seasoned leaders with wisdom and experience who are there because they want to help them. So it's a safe place to be. I love this story. Some of you recognize Ethan Sloan, the fellow on the left here with the guitar. I remember a couple of years ago, senior teen camp, and it was talent night, and we had several campers doing things, and some of them were great, and some of them were okay. And and I remember Ethan getting up, and I'd never heard Ethan sing before, I don't know what I was expecting, but when he opened his mouth and began to sing, everybody's jaw dropped. We could not believe what was coming out of this guy's mouth. He's got an amazing voice. And so I went up and asked him afterwards for his autograph because I figured in 10 years, like, I'd never get near him, right? And I think probably a number of other people had similar affirmations for him. So the next year, he volunteered to be a featured performer at our cafe. This is just last summer. And here he is with Tyler Martin. And I think he performed recently at an area-wide Christmas banquet because Dan Hamill asked him. But at camp, we're provided with an opportunity to see another side of people that you previously knew nothing about. You get to see people in a whole new light. Our camps offer something else as well. They offer an alternative view of reality and the opportunity to journey for a few days with people who are living that alternative reality. Pictured here is David Young. He's a fellow who's living in an alternative reality. Not the North American dream that we've all been programmed to pursue, but rather a life of listening, trusting, and obeying the Spirit of Jesus. The same Jesus who went missing during the Feast of the Passover when he was a 12-year-old boy. Jesus is a very curious character. This David Young is a very curious character, too. If you have a chance to come to senior teen camp this summer, you'll meet him. My reason for going to camp, the reason I'm excited about being there this summer is the reason I volunteered to serve as the director of operations is for the opportunity to help the seasonal staff in particular to become deeply rooted in the way of Jesus, to learn to depend on his Spirit, to learn to bless others, to learn to become more like Jesus in my attitudes, actions, and character, to learn his teachings, to understand what it means to be on mission together. And I can't wait to take on that challenge, and I know that I'll fail miserably if I do that in my own strength. So pray for me as I take on that challenge. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, I hope this little episode from the life of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy has maybe piqued your curiosity. Get a Bible and read more about him. He's a curious character. Learn more about his father's business. And if you've been on your journey for a while, and maybe just assumed that Jesus was traveling in your midst, but you realize today that you've lost sight of him, you're not quite sure where he is, stop. Stop like Mary and Joseph did and go back and find him. He's doing his father's business, and he's waiting for you to join him on that mission. Camp is a great place to reconnect with Jesus and to refocus. And camp is a great place to join Jesus on mission. We need campers you couldn't have a camp without campers. We need counselors, and Jeremy mentioned this earlier. We need waterfront staff. We need kitchen help. We need cooks. And if you can't go, but you could send somebody else, then do that. I'd love to see you at camp this summer. I'd love to see you at the first week of family camp. It'd be great to be there together. But more important than going to camp is going with God. And may you go with God today. And if you're not sure where to find him anymore, I'd love to talk with you about that as soon as the service is over, and I'm sure Jeremy would, or the people that you came with would as well. So may God bless you today as you, and may he keep you, and may he make his face to shine upon you. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Gavin. Do you have a very